Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. This is Sayo Gio from Orlando. I'm helping out Reverend Koyo Kobosa this morning with the switchboard. And let me go ahead and turn on his microphone. Reverend Koyo?
Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much. I'm calling from I'm staying at my cousin's vacation home up in Dunsmuir, California, and using their landline. They have some minutes on their calling card, and it's a little more reliable than a cell phone, which signal tends to drop out. So I can tell you a little bit about our travels right now, but before doing so, I'd like to introduce our Dharma Glimpse. Every time we have a Dharma Glimpse by former lay ministers or current students, this morning's guest Dharma Glimpser is Patty Milligan, and she lives in Camarillo, California, which is next to near Oxnard, north of Los Angeles. She and her husband, Doug Slatton, are in the current lay ministry program. It's the first husband and wife team that are enrolled. I think that's a nice way where they get triple benefits. You know, they're doing it each themselves, and then there's the fact that they're doing it together in the same household. We have to ask them about how that goes sometimes. But without further ado, Patty-san.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Today is my birthday. And since joining the Bright Dawn Lay Ministry Sangha, the principles of Buddhism are always floating through my mind. As the day approaches, I realize I have at some point changed the way I feel about my birthday. Around the age of 50 or so, birthdays, the annual mark of the progression of time, had become a dreaded reminder that I was closer to the end, closer to taking the trip to that undiscovered country from whose bourne no traveler returns, as Shakespeare put it. I'm also reminded of when Reverend Koyo said, cause of death, birth. In Buddhism, the concept of impermanence is an undeniable and inescapable fact of human existence, and this particular impermanence can give us a sense of urgency about our lives as we draw closer to the end. My focus has been on my inevitable loss, that this independent one-of-one standalone entity will be gone forever, that when I'm done, it's all done. This year, I think more through a Dharma filter, and my focus shifts to another I in Buddhism, interdependence. Alfred Bloom said, interdependence is a positive teaching aimed at curbing our deep-rooted egoism. It teaches that we cannot live simply for ourselves or without regard to others who make our lives possible. Now I'm thinking it's egoistic to feel that it all ends with me. If life is impermanent and interdependent, then why not death? Interdependence. A whole depends on its parts, and it cannot exist in an autonomous or independent manner. A birthday replete with visitors, calls, and greetings is a good reminder that I do not exist in an autonomous manner. I'm a part of everything, and everything's a part of me. As I think about interdependence, I think what a privilege it is to be acknowledged and greeted by friends and loved ones on this occasion. Rather than dwelling on what little time is left, this is an opportunity to express to those who come around my gratitude for participating with me in this life. During this previous week, the very air around our house has changed as my dear family prepares for my birthday. Can you imagine such sweetness? My daughter is searching the internet for low-fat birthday cake recipes. I walk into my husband's office only to disrupt some covert activity involving tissue paper. The in-laws call, when can we come over? I used to be uncomfortable with this kind of attention, and now I see it as an opportunity to acknowledge the ongoing dynamic process of interdependent life around me by expressing my humble gratitude to the people that have willingly woven their lives into the fabric of my life and are an integral part of me. We do not travel this journey alone. Thank you.
Oh, that was great. You know, I think the topic of impermanence, and particularly one's own mortality, is such a fundamental, such a personal, how do you accept the unacceptable? In a sense, this is the whole purpose of being born, is how to figure out, you know, the problem never is death. The problem is always how to live in the face of death, you see. So the whole purpose of human life, coming into this world, being given life, is to figure out how to live knowing that you're going to die. Now, maybe some religions say, oh, well, don't worry, you got a soul, and there's heaven, and if you do good things and so forth, and the whole bit, the whole story, okay, to trying to alleviate fears and uncertainties. But human beings have brains, and some people, they cannot accept sort of Santa Claus, all-powerful distributor of justice and rewards, unseen on blind faith. That whole atheism, agnostic aspect. So how is one to figure out exactly one's philosophy of life and attitude, you know? And it's difficult because life itself requires a lot of focus and energy on other things. You know, growing up, navigating the things and the situations and incidents in life, you forget the most fundamental thing is dealing with life itself, which includes death. You know, so we're fooling ourselves if we, as aware, intelligent human beings, deny this fundamental aspect of our being. If you sweep it under the rug, or if you distract yourself with other pursuits, it's always there, and it's affecting every aspect, consciously or unconsciously, what we think and feel and do, our health, our body, you know. How do you healthfully, in the most positive way, deal with something that's totally unacceptable from a self-centered individual point of view, which is the way we are, you know? And a lot of people lead destructive lives not even knowing why, but they don't have the tools to even address this question. Others are aware of it to some degree, but still they don't have the tools, or life gives them a lot of situations where it's difficult. But even under the best circumstances, people who become truth seekers, who devote their whole life to it, who seek out teachers and teachings, have a rough time. But as is mentioned through the Dharma glimpse, you know, Buddhist symbols, like even if you take altar objects and why they're there, what's the meaning of them, the teaching behind them, you know, flowers are always on an altar and has many teachings, but one particular one is of impermanence, constant change. The flower is beautiful right now, but it's a real flower, so it's going to wilt and not be beautiful anymore. And when you see that flower, you know, that teaching is there. But it's not just the negative. Oh, the good things, the beautiful things, not going to last. Oh, man. The other side of it is, well, gee, we better appreciate that it right now. Now, it has been said that death is the mother of beauty. If you didn't have death as part of life, we may not realize it because, you know, it's kind of hard, but our whole way of living would be different if we lived forever and knew it. Even though a lot of times we do live like we're immortal, you know, we forget. Okay. But supposing it was really true and we knew it, no death. Everybody lives forever. It would blow your mind. Could you still appreciate things? Would you work hard? Obviously you wouldn't have to take care of your health. You could eat all you want. I mean, okay, you know, that'd be a whole thought experiment. But because death is part of life, it really makes it important, fresh. You know, it adds the zing, so to speak. Okay. But in spite of this, we take a beautiful flower for granted. We take our relationships for granted. You know? We treat each moment as just another moment. Oh, it's just another day of seeing the same old faces at work. It's another day of this challenge. You know, another day of dealing with rude drivers all the time, every morning. Another way of dealing with my spouse's shortcomings. We lose the big picture. How to live with death on our left shoulder, so to speak. Because, you know, it has been said, man came to teacher and said, you know, give me the gist of it. And the guy said, the teacher said, do good and, you know, don't do harm and so forth. And the man said, is that it? Any two-year-old knows that. And the teacher said, yeah, but how many people can live it? It's not a matter of knowing something. It's a matter of becoming it to the extent that, you know, you live it. And that's a big struggle. It's easy to have the best of intentions, to know about kindness, consideration, taking care of oneself. But as it's also said, easier said than done. How do you make such a thing, attitude, input, so impactful, so transformative, that it does become part of your skin and bones and muscle and blood? That's the dedication, the commitment, the journey, facing in the right direction. No matter where you want to go, if your cart is facing south, how are you going to go north? Thinking all about north, thinking about all the things, preparations, everything. But if your cart itself is facing in the wrong direction, that's how a lot of us live our lives. Because we know the good things and the bad things, and we know. It's not a matter of knowledge. You know? Somehow, you have to, either life forces you through tragedy, or you have the good fortune to meet someone or be guided in a certain way that you learn about the Dharma. And a lot of times we don't know why we were led to the Dharma. Oh, we're born into this kind of family, or I just happened to read this book that a friend gave me. But all these pebbles on the scale somehow tilted it to where we encountered the Dharma. And then each of us in our own way, own pace, own routes in this journey, you know, become truth seekers, and our life is unfolding. And one of the basic dimensions is this whole impermanence, personal mortality. And just as for a flower, oh, it's not going to last, but the upside is, hey, look at the beauty now. You know, if it was not for, sometimes when you say the word impermanence, everything changes, you're always thinking about the negatives, about, oh, health doesn't last, beauty doesn't last, life doesn't last, nothing. You know, we all think about the good things that we want things to last but don't. But there's so many bad things, negative things, undesirable things that also don't last and are constantly changing. and good thing too, right? And of course, then there's the Zen saying, this too shall pass, you know, as a spiritual tool. When you're struggling with difficulties, if you self-remind yourself, hey, it's not going to always be this way, this too shall pass. Okay. Sometimes you don't even have to do anything too much because you don't have control over things. But life is a dynamic process, always flowing, and things will change. Okay. So that's the good side of impermanence. That the bad things are not permanent either. Thus, we go beyond the bad and the good. We see the flow of life. And if we have the ounce of wisdom, we'll go with that flow. Instead of wishing expectancies, they get rigid and we self-victimize ourselves. We could take care of ourselves, you know, with the one tool that we got, our attitudes. We always think our attitudes have been determined by outside things. And to a big extent, they are. You're born into a certain family, into a certain country, into a certain political situation, in a certain economic time, certain time in history. You didn't have a choice in what family you were born in, what kind of social network, and all of these things. You know, but how you respond to all of these things is crucial. And Buddhism tries to teach the awareness of this whole process, dynamic process of reality, and how we fit in. Man, I didn't know I was going to talk about such deep stuff, but Patty-san opened that gate to the most, well, like I said, the whole reason human beings are born from a spiritual sense point of view is figuring out, you know, when we say, hey, what's life all about? That's what we're talking about, ultimate questions. Okay. If someone said the ultimate question is, hey, you know, I'm not dealing with ultimate questions. Hey, when you're dead, you're dead. And, you know, they have a certain attitude. I'm not talking about the correctness of it or the arguments pro and con, but whatever one's attitude is and how it gets framed, that's important too. All of these things, we can't pretend to know what affects us in these kinds of ways, you know, these broad things. Okay. We like to think we can control ourselves, you know, our lives, but it's very difficult, you know. And that's why Buddhism says, man, first know yourself. The whole way of life is the opposite. It seems like, hey, watch out for what's coming down the road. How do you take care of things that are coming down the road? You know? We rarely say, oh, what's our, you know, inner oriented and say, well, we got to teach how to respond. We got to know ourselves. Okay? It's a very famous saying, first know yourself. Well, it's not new to Buddhism. Socrates, you know, Greek wisdoms and... this is crucial. We're not a cork just blobbing around in a sea of forces. We have a big say, and there's interaction. Okay. We can't dominate it. That's the whole challenge. Okay. If you can't dominate it and control and make it, what do you do? Give up? Rely on some powerful, unseen, faith-based, all-powerful, omnipotent source of authority? Well, those two options aren't available in the Buddhist thinking, that it's all chaos and chance and I can't do much about it, might as well live it up, or, oh, I better be good because then the Creator is going to, you know, judge us accordingly. We look for the causes. Huh? Pratisamuppada in Pali. Causes and conditions. And a lot of these conditions, internal. And if you blame it on the external, your cart is facing north when you want to go south, man. Well, I better stop. This is a deep topic. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Sensei. I think that's going to give us a lot to really contemplate this week. As I think you said, we could probably be doing this talk all day and probably all week. But thank you very much for everybody listening. And Koya Sensei, I know you have your weekly, I call it your Sunday salute to wave us off the air.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Regardless of good or bad or what's going on in the day, you know, there's a saying that every day is a good day or that everything is okay, spelled with the big O, you know, the big okay, even when things are not going okay. And that's why we say, have a beautiful day.